This is The Midnight Club, a podcast for Athenas and Clydesdales and the rest of us that, when we come in last, it's still coming in first. If I could put my
arms around you, would you remember? Welcome back to The Midnight Club. It has been a hot minute, more than a hot minute. A scorching hot minute, right, Kelly?
it's been a simmering hot minute.
Because it's been slow,
yeah,
not fast.
Slow burn.
It's been a cold minute.
Yes. But glad to be here.
Yeah, we are coming to you actually from Lewis and Maine in good old Monroe, Washington. Right off of Highway 2 on your way up to Stevens Pass. It was always the place that I would stop off on my way to go skiing and go to, like, Shakey's Pizza. Or
like, fill up gas. Yeah.
I did not know that one block over, there's, like, a cool part of town. It's all historical and stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty cute over here.
Very neat. Very neato, Frito. Kelly, I think there were some things you'd wanted to talk about for today's episode.
Don't put the pressure on me.
Well, I didn't think it was, like, serious. Like, so you wanted to talk about, you know, no means no.
No, we've got some stuff going on.
We do.
And most importantly, we just not too long ago got back from Cozumel for the third time. And you did the 70.3 for the first time on Cozumel. Two fulls?
Yes.
One half?
Yeah, and go figure, the only one I've been able to complete has been the full. Shows you how far I am. And then I'm crazy enough to, I guess, just continue for Ironman Arizona, which is in a few weeks.
But let's backpedal a minute. Tell us about your journey, sir. Cozumel, going with the baby, 70.3. First time doing this course, which is very similar to the other course.
Kind of, but yeah. So one, for the first time, especially since he had the kid, we now own a small business. So
small baby.
And a small baby, and so we put everything under the sun of the card to be able to get Alaska points, and so we were able to fly directly into Cozumel, but it wasn't a direct flight from Seattle.
Let me tell you, if you are able to do that, it's a treat.
It is so much easier.
You don't have to haul your crap, even without a baby. The ferries from Cancun or Playa del Carmen to Cozumel aren't really reliable. It's on the ocean, so it's choppy. They give people barf bags. It's a hassle.
Yeah, it really is. Because you land at the airport, and it's an hour to get down to where the ferry is. So we just stayed in Playa del Carmen. And then, like you said, the ferries are reliable. Sometimes they are unreliable, that they might not be going. And so it's always been really tough.
Although Playa del Carmen is...
It's my favorite place to go.
In the Yucatan, for sure.
Yeah. I posed the question if you could go to Cancun, St. Cancun or Playa del Carmen, or any of those places along the Riviera Maya.
Yeah.
Like, I'd much rather be like Playa del Carmen than Cancun.
Oh, for sure. And if you ever get down there, you got to go to the monkey restaurant and you got to go to the cave, right?
Yeah. And maybe in the show notes we can look up the real names, but there's a really good restaurant where there are monkeys jumping around, and then the restaurant with the cave, they've actually got bats down there. It's fun. It's good stuff. But this time what we did is we took a red eye from Seattle to Dallas, which got to Dallas at 5 a.m.
We were not here for fun. We were here for baby and Iron Man.
Exactly. And then at it was a 10 o'clock flight. We checked into a lounge, had a 10 o'clock flight that got us to Cozumel around 1:30 or something like that. And then ended up staying at the Cozumel Palace, which was literally right across from the Ironman
finish.
The village, the finish, and all the stuff he needed to be at. Which, the resort itself wasn't bad. There's no sandy beach or anything.
Yeah, it's a very small resort. It's all-inclusive. Super small. You know, one pool, one buffet restaurant, one pool bar. And then it had kind of one building that... kind of had a partition, and one side was one type of food for restaurant for dinner, and the other side was the other, and they kind of flip-flopped what the menu
was. It was funny.
Were.
One night would be Mexican on the right side, and then it'd be on the left side, it'd be Japanese, and another night it would be Asian. Koreans. Yeah. Or like Japanese.
And the hostess ended up dressing like totally cultural appropriation.
Yeah, she'd be in a kimono.
The food theme was. Bless her heart. She was quite sweet.
She was. She was.
But I will say something. If you end up going to Cozumel, it's one of the nicer actual hotels, I think.
Yeah, no, it was really, really nice.
Cozumel doesn't have a ton to offer as far as like huge resorts or anything.
Yeah. I mean,
there's a few, but it was the best food I've ever had in an all-inclusive.
Yeah, the food was really good there. A lot of the name brand hotels are up off the run course, kind of a little more removed.
Yeah.
I do want to go by, there's the Iberian or Iberio something. It was right, it's off the bike course, but then I saw an ad today for it. It does have a sandy beach at the place. So I'm like, oh, that'd be kind of cool to try sometime. But it's a little bit, you know, it's removed. It's not downtown or near downtown.
But it was great for our needs, and it had a huge room. Our room was enormous.
Yeah, that part was
which
really
was nice for like putting the bike together.
Putting the bike together, big balcony, and then obviously when you got a baby, it helps with that too.
Yeah.
So the going into this, I mean, all I'm really full of right now are excuses, which it's one of those, like, it's no excuse, but there is a reason. I'm just not nearly as good a shape I was before, which before I was always wanting to get into better shape. And, you know, as far as being quote unquote race ready, it's just been a challenge. You know, I take Landon, our now 10-month-old, with us when I try to go running, but it's just, you know, as far as like those 10-mile runs or, you know, the 2.4-mile swims, they're a little bit more difficult to come by with baby and new house and new business and whatnot. And that's what I got to try to, you know, figure out finding time for and how I'm going to be able to balance these things. So and the funny thing is I had signed up for this because I thought, hey, we also bring Jack and Alice, our other two kids. And we've tried taking a lot of these Ironman events to expose them to them. And then they just don't like going. They don't like going to the village, and then they just get bored. And so this go around, they said, hey, we don't really want to go. And
they said they didn't want to go to Mexico.
This is true.
Like,
so we thought, okay, hey, if you don't want to do it, that's fine. So it was just the three of us, and I said, hey, I'm still just going to go. Now, there's the dreaded east side of the island on this course. And when I look at the map for the course, you essentially do one loop, and then you don't go back to the east side, and you kind of go back around. So instead of doing three loops for the full bike, you do just the one. So I'm like, well, maybe I can do this. And then looking at the swim course, and I'd heard about this, rather than going point to point where they bus you up and you go with the current and you have your best swim time of your entire life, you start at the same place where you normally would finish, and you go out, over, and back. And so I'd heard that actually the swim was a little more difficult, and they were not wrong. So we got, you know, got everything ready. I thought, like, screw it, I'm just going to give this my best effort. I'm not sure if there's anything before race day to go over, Kelly, if you're thinking, and I was going to just start going about how it went on race day.
Yeah, I mean, everything went smooth. Ironman Village wasn't as busy as it usually is, and they also didn't have a lot of stuff. Like, it was weird.
I don't know if people were showing up Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I could never find a shirt. I could never find everything's just gone.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely slim pickings. And also, there was a Senior Frogs was there. So they were giving people shots. So that's cool.
That's true. There was a Senior Frogs. Not too far away.
No, I mean.
So I, you know, come race morning, get up, and you go down to Chonkanab. I always want to say Chapakanab, but Chonkanab. You got everything ready, and then I didn't bring my bike pump just because it's so bulky, and they have bike pumps there. I ended up waiting in the slowest line, and then the stem of my tube broke, and they couldn't fill it, and the guy was like, well, you'll probably be fine out there, and I didn't want to chance it. So I did get one of the technicians to change the tube for me, which is very kind of him. But the thing is I went to go to the swim start later than I wanted to, and I was kind of the back of the pack.
You had trouble with your bike every single time we've been in Cozumel. There was the one time where you like gave it to the
guy, and you ran away.
You like left for the day, and then the time before, I think it was another TSA issue. Like it just came fucked up.
TSA messed up a lot of things this time. They just give no shits.
They give no shit. Yeah. We need a hard case. Get a hard case. If you're listening to this, if you have a choice, always get a hard case.
But yeah, I guess it's not as... It is a little more difficult. We got the soft shell case. There was someone else with a hard shell that he was liking it so far. But the thing about this is a narrow corridor when you get to Chonkanab to line up for the swim. It's not like where, like, maybe there's a beach and they have everything laid out and you can see where you want to, like, you know, obviously you can self-seed yourself if you want to be the very front of the pack. Well, in this case, no, because there's no way to push through. Imagine, like, just like a really narrow corridor. There's no way I could get there. And then you go around on the dock. And one thing I did realize as I was waiting and they're getting everybody to starting, which, by the way, still a really, really fun swim start because they have their dolphins there jumping around because the dock, you get a full square and you're going around on the dock and you see the dolphins jumping. And
these are like enclosed dolphins, like at a
yeah, these are the kind where they're trained to like jump, okay, do flips and
not
stuff,
just so. Out of the ocean. Like,
yeah, the dolphins are really curious to just cheer you on.
You know, flipper high five.
Right, exactly. And you know, this is Mexico, so of course they're the DJ guy or the announcer guy's real fun. He's energetic. They're playing the music, which was great. But I didn't get into the water until an hour after I started.
Yeah.
And one thing that I've realized is I'm sitting there just sweating, just continuing to just keep sweating and sweating with no water. And I'm like, this is probably not good. So you do your start. You actually jump off the dock into the water and go. And it was pretty simple going out. But then the current was coming kind of back against you and like at a diagonal spot. So it was really really difficult to try to stay on course. And a lot of people struggled that day with the current. They're getting kind of just pushed off course. So just for perspective, I can't recall if when I, like the very first time I, that's right, the very first time I did the full swim, so the point to point, 2.4 miles to then 170 minutes. The second time I did in 65. Here I did 1.2 miles and I did that in 53 minutes. So just kind of give you a reference of just the differences between the courses. So I finished the swim. I'm a little bit more exhausted than I was figuring I would be. I get on the bike and start doing the course. And at first, it's going okay. Now, one thing I might try doing, I've rather than go with no socks on the bike, and then I figured then you have to meddle with other things on the run, I just put all the socks that I plan to have for both the bike and the run. Now, I know some people go without the socks and you let things... your feet dry off, so when it comes time for the run, you've got a fresh set of socks and you're ready to go. Well, this time, what I've been doing sometimes, because my compression socks are really, really thin in the shoe, and so my feet will slide around, so I put your regular athletic socks on, and then put the compression socks over, and I get going, I get to the end, and honestly, it was about the turn to go back into town. I'm like, hey, I made it past the dreaded east side of the island. But then there was a headwind getting back into town, and then sure enough, right when I kind of get you know near where the finish line will be, because you still have to go down and do a turnaround, that's when I start just bonking and crashing and having a tough time. And then my feet were just killing me. Just it was too much tightness, too much compression on my feet. And so
I'm sure you're already still swollen from, you know, flying and then, you know, weird food and all that.
Yeah. Oh, and another thing too, and even someone on the plane had mentioned this, that she does both the full and the 70.3, is since this is in September instead of November, you know, and end of November, it's a lot
hot. So hot.
So it's just really, really, really hot. Yeah. And so, and that's my mortal enemy. It's just heat and humidity and whatnot. So again, it's one of those where it's like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish. Should I just ride my, as I'm going by our hotel, should I just pull off and just say, well, I did.
Well, and I'm glad that you brought that up. So his bike course went directly past our hotel, and the Ironman app, it was not like loading in real time. And so I kept going out there when it was saying that you were like a couple minutes behind, and I kept missing you. I missed you twice on by our hotel, and I missed you at the at T2,
mm-hmm,
also, but sure. and you were actually after when we left, like we stayed there for a half hour, and I'm like, there's no way you've never had a transition that long before, and so we left, and it's come to find out you were like probably a minute or two after we left, and that was just really frustrating because we were so centrally located, and having the baby, like obviously having to pack up the baby and then trying to like see how you're doing and be there to see if you need anything or motivate you, and then not being able to find you was making me insane.
Yeah, and I noticed there were hardly any of the, you know, usually have the little sensor cables, so anytime you ride your bike over or you run over them, it beeps, but that's what updates the app. There were hardly any out there, yeah. So I'm sure it was just...
Well, and then anytime I was outside of the hotel, if it wasn't on Wi-Fi, it wasn't updating. So really, I only had the...
Oh, that's right, because you had your cell data.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time,
which
maybe it was good, because I'm sure if I saw you, I'd be like, oh, there's, you know, Kelly and Landon. I'm done. Here you go. So I make it down, do the loop, and I, you know, just struggle to get there, you know, 56 miles, and even the lady was like, just like, are you okay? Are you sure you're okay? One thing I thought was really, really lame is as I go to transition, I take my helmet off. And she's like, no, sir, you have to have your helmet on. So I struggle to put my helmet on. No, you have to have it strapped. And I can barely move my arms at this point. And then so I'm like, can you help me? Oh, sure. I'm like, what the? Because if you fall, you might fall and sue us. I'm thinking like, I want to.
Sue you in Mexico?
Right. You know, I just want to get to my bike. So I get there, but that's another thing. My T1 time was like 12 and a half minutes, and then my T2 time was about 12 and a half minutes. And so if you think about it, you know, roughly almost a half hour just eating up in transitions. So that could have helped me out. And generally speaking, my goal is always to go at least 16 miles an hour. And every time, every mile an hour, so if you go 17 miles an hour, that's going to, you know, I'm going to decrease my time by 30 minutes. And so when I look down and see that, like, hey, 14.2 miles an hour at the end, because at first I was, for the longest time, I was like the first half of it, hey, 18 miles an hour, this is going great. So I mean, I was just totally like just sucking ass toward the end. And so I decided, hey, I'm just gonna go for it, just go on the run course. And I get going, and it's just one of those, I simply ran out of time.
Yeah.
My strategies for these things, I'm not Lucy Charles Barkley, kudos to her, but my whole thought, my process, my plan, everything is like, if I can do well enough on the swim and the bike, even if I just struggle on the run, because sometimes my run is the same time as my bike, like, great, but I, you know, like, all the better. But the thing is like, I can never make it up on the run. I'm not going to go like, I'm going to do 9-minute miles to make up for my shit bike ride. That's not going to happen with me. I mean, it just simply is not. There's been a couple of times where I did, like, I think Ironman Oceanside, I think I had 14 and a half miles an hour or something, and I barely squeaked out anything there, you know, or you know, being able to finish there. So in this case here, I'm averaging... Well, essentially, I'm walking for the most part, walking as best I can, but I'm going for like 15-minute miles to 16 to 17. After a while, I'm like, I think this is going to take me 4 hours. And at that point, I had, what did I have, like two and a half? And I'm like, you know, they might let me finish and run, you know, like go down the chute if it's like within like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but I don't think they're going to let me come within an hour, you know, or, you know, if it's supposed to, if it's multiple hours. And so I got to mile six. Well, actually, here's the thing. It kind of sucked. I got to mile six, and about mile four, and I'm going out, and then I'm like, I might pass out. I'm just getting shaky. I'm getting hungry. Again, they're running out of, it's one thing, it really sucks when you go to an aid station. I'm like, oh, my choice is nuts, and, you know, they're out of water, and so you're drinking the water from the melted ice in the trough, you know?
It's just insane to me that Iron Man would not have...
And again, when you're slow,
for you're going to be going there. Athletes. Of all races, they should be like
totally.
A well-oiled machine.
But again, if you're fast, you're getting to these
things
first, and you're having a full...
Everyone is paying the same.
Oh, I agree. Again, this goes back to why it sucks ass to be so slow, because you get there, oh, you're out of almost everything. Like, well, I'm glad the guy that finished in 4 hours is, you know...
Well hydrated.
...was doing well. So, but the thing is, I kind of started getting a little bit more pep to my step. And then I finally saw you and Landon. I was about like mile six.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. I was just like, I'm done. Again, it's just like, I literally have no time. But, and so I was trying to tell myself, at first I was fine with finishing the bike. And I was like, I'll just call it the Cozumel Aqua Bike. But I just did what I could. But you know, even I realized what I was trying to reconcile that time too, because I was okay with what I did, and then I felt disappointed. I was very understanding of where I, you know, where I was as far as my condition and my ability to finish, and I wasn't too disappointed. But then as the race finishes, and then you know, when it sinks in.
See the people, and then your day sinks in, and then...
Right.
Because I asked you before you quit, I said, are you going to regret this? And you said, absolutely not. I'm timed out. There's no way I can finish.
Yeah. And so then I realized the feelings is just like, hey, reconciling where I am at versus where I wish I was at or I want to be.
Uh-huh.
Interesting thing, this is the first 70.3 I've not been able to finish.
Out of what? This your eighth? Seventh?
No, this was my, I think my sixth. I've had some other Olympics and whatnot.
Oh, maybe that's what I was thinking.
Thank you. Like New York, for example, was an Olympic. So I don't know. I just bummed. And then it's like, okay, I've got this full Ironman. What happened is I had signed up for Ironman Alaska, switched it to Arizona. And then my dad dies.
Oh, sorry.
And so then I deferred for a year, and I'm like, I'm less ready now than I was, you know, from before. And I tried seeing if I could defer again, and they pretty much said no.
Wondering. You got an answer?
I got an answer back, and they said tough titties. Yep. So now I'm left with a choice, because...
You got 29 days.
Is it actually 29?
I think it is, because last time we calculated it was 33.
Then okay, well there you go. so I'm trying to figure out, like, well, I did spend the $1,000 two summers ago, or actually, no, I said maybe three summers ago, because I think I sent it for Alaska a year in advance.
We haven't bought our tickets yet, is what I'm saying.
Well, I haven't bought the plane tickets. I haven't paid for the hotel, and a big part of me is like, do you want to spend all this time and money and lost production now from the office to go down and just get my ass kicked? But I don't know. So my thought today was like, how can I strategize this? The one thing is tough. We don't have a 24-hour gym that would have a 24-hour pool near us. So the aquatic center does open at 5:30. That's not too far from us. Like, okay, maybe I can... You know, I can get down there, or, you know.
But realistically, if you were able to get up at 5 and just hit the, like, do the Angie Jackson style.
Right.
Just, like, in your shit. Get down there at 5:30. You could easily get an hour 15 swim in every single morning.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do the other day. You know, here's the kicker. I've got sleep apnea. My whole life, I have a tough time going to bed. I have a tough time getting up. Now, I completely understand the whole, like, well, hey, if you take care of this, do that, you get these things. Great. You can also go to any overweight person and say, hey, you know, there's ways to not be overweight. We all know that. There's also ways, like, I get that. It's just where I'm at. And so it's just really, really tough. And what I've tried to do before, sometimes in the past, is everyone's bed asleep. Like, I'll sneak out in the middle of the night and then come back and then... You know, we do what I need to in the middle of the night. But again, the only pool I can do that is, it's just, that's also just too far away. And so my thought was, well, try to get up early. It's dark. We're now in the very, very dark part here in Washington. But like the Centennial Trail near us, there's no cars. So, you know, if I just get a really high powered headlamp for the bike, can I hit the, even if I'm getting up essentially like, really, really early and just try to illuminate it? Because otherwise, I mean, the daylight hours are from like, what, 8 a.m. to 4:30?
I mean, for me, as you know, your wife and wanting you to be safe, and also just logistics of like, it takes longer to get, for you to get out of the house, especially if you're with your bike. I feel like a more immediate solution would be throw it on the Wahoo. That's what everyone does.
But it's totally different.
But you're still getting those miles under your legs, and that's what you want.
Kind of. It's just, I don't know. To me, it's just different. Well, I should probably just get the Wahoo working properly as far as the shifting and whatnot. But I just thought, okay.
But it's something. It's better than not doing anything.
Oh, of course. Of course. But I'm just saying, like, okay, can I do it if I'm getting somehow, if it's going to bed later, if it's getting up earlier. And then my thought was, you know, I'll still run where I can, but Well, and here's another kicker. I thought about it, and I guess Michael Villar Carlos is the same way, where everything, the success, at least for me, it all comes down to the bike. If I have a good bike time, I will finish. If I have a shit bike time, I won't, or it's going to be really, really tough. I know, like, Christian Blumenfeld, that he's able to, like, you know, he's the anchor leg with the run. That's just not me. The funny thing is, it's the one I train the least on.
Right.
And I guess with Michael, it's the same with him. Like, he tries to do the best he can on the bike, and that's a strategy. But it's just, and it's just easier a lot of times to either swim or run. It takes longer to get that workout for the bike, and there's a lot of times just more logistics as far as getting all your stuff ready and where you're going to go ride. But I just wondered, I put a heavy, heavy focus on the bike, trying to also incorporate some swim. If I can do an okay time, I've read this too, that like the bike will help with the run, but the run will help with the bike. Okay, maybe I focus on that, but if I can do it, if I hit that magic 16, if you've ever looked down, you're like, you know, Clinton Timmerman ever 16 miles an hour. No, Clint is happy. You know, anything above that, Clint is more happy. Right. Below that, Clint's panicking.
And I know that, you know, you're kind of poo-pooing the Wahoo and even on a spin bike, but you're teaching your brain is teaching your muscles. You're still gaining muscle and you're still going through the repetition of doing it for.
I mean, right. It's been, hey, I went to go lift weights and I came to your spin class. So. I did that on purpose because I thought, hey,
I feel like it's way better than nothing.
I'm not saying do nothing. I'm saying get out and ride the bike. Because I think I did one ride, maybe two, you know, before Cozumel.
Yeah.
And then it's the one like, hey, I'm doing okay. And then about
sucks because we
all of a sudden mile 30.
A 30-mile bike trail a quarter mile from our house.
That's the one I usually run on. And today is what I rode on in. It is awesome. Anyone listening, it goes from a town called Snohomish, and then it goes along, and you see these old train depots where they're now just either they're just like bathroom stalls, but they've kept it along, you know, like they've kept the historic aspect of it. Gorgeous trees. It's a fun, fun path, and you go to this farm that Japanese immigrants had. It was their farm when they had immigrated and settled. So it's like it looks like a regular barn, but like a lot of really cool Japanese art. So no, love the Centennial Trail, and then. There's even, if you go, there's a highway from us, and you go up the hill to where we used to live, hill's a pain in the ass, but that whole loop is 25 miles, and so, or maybe 26 or so, but I keep thinking, like, hey, just do that four times. They're going to do it four times in a row, especially with that hill. Like, that would really be, like, in good Ironman shape. And then again, that's why I'm saying, you know, I'm just full of excuses, but, like, the solutions are around me.
Right.
So, as of right now, I just thought, okay, fine, I'll just... It's like Yogi Berra said, and go out there, give it your best, then fuck it. So, but I still wonder if I should do my idea of just focus on the swim, bring a BMX bike.
I was going to say, your idea is bringing a BMX bike, so you have an excuse to be like, well, I had Frank the Tank.
Check it out. Look at this thing.
Or then he's like, should I bring the baby?
The little one.
Oh my goodness.
Which is
like a little kid one?
Which is like one gear. Just seeing how far I can get. You know, the kind you can, like, pop a, like, a front wheelie.
Oh, I know. Back.
Yeah.
If you could see my face right now
She doesn't think that's the best thing to do. So, we'll see. So, that's what I'm thinking of doing. The thing is, for my birthday, Kelly got us, essentially, would you call it an ultra?
It's an ultra. It's a 12-hour run.
Do what you can in 12 hours.
Yeah. It's in a national park in South Carolina, so I'm real stoked to see some poisonous snakes. And I just, because I also, like, I'm not where I want to be. It's been just an uphill battle for both of us.
I feel bad in my own body, and I feel like I have imposter syndrome.
For sure.
With everything. And so it's been really, really tough.
Yeah.
I want to get back into it. And the thing is, you know, I took Landon on a hike. Everything I take him on, he seems to enjoy. And I always kind of saw us as... doing these adventures and still making it a family event. So I want to get back into it just because I feel like it's something we've enjoyed and bonded over that we've been.
And it's been part of our lives for, you know, a long time. And so it does feel weird being out of it. And honestly, that's why we really haven't recorded. Because
what's going on? Well,
other than the half marathon in Vegas, I mean, since he's been born, I've done two 5Ks. Like,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Then you talked about after, it was my very first marathon, so it was the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and that's actually a nice course.
It's nice. It's beautiful. It's flat. Just snacks along the way.
Yeah, if you can go stop and get a cinnamon roll like Kelly did. So she talked about doing that, so I'm, you know, trying to, like, hey, let's say yes to these things and
build our life around it.
That's what I like to do. I'm happier when we do that, so.
As we drink our wine.
That's, yeah. Yeah, I got to try to figure out a strategy with that, too. I'm thinking just nothing, probably just nothing at all, but, like, nothing during the week.
Yeah.
And then, so, there's room for movement. I do remember, though, I was in better shape then, but training for the first Washington 70.3, I remember that my first time went to go do it, I was, like, yeah, it was just struggling. It took me like 4.5 hours to do the course. But then I consecutively went every week for the ride, and then I got to 4 hours. And then when I actually did it, I think I did it like 3 hours and 45 minutes or something like that. So like I was ecstatic that I.
And who is the chick that we interviewed, and she did the bike on her beach cruiser?
Yes.
We need to get back in touch with her.
We do.
Maybe she needs to move up with us.
She's one that's able to take, it's like a Pee Wee Herman looking type of bike, but she's one that's then able to get off the bike, and she takes a long time on the bike, and then like, oh, well, let me just do my 8-minute miles or whatever. Right. Like,
and she's even pregnant at the time.
She was preggers. So, yeah. So that's the thing. Some people, they could be pregnant, or they could be like cross-edgely, and they like haul a tree or push a Mini Cooper, and then there's me. I'm hauling my Clydesdale weight, so we'll see how this goes. That's all you can do.
Yep.
You know, just, I guess, go out there, do your best, and then
yeah, 29 days.
Retool it again. But I still would love to do Kona if I could. So I have to get 10 more fulls within 12 years. I've signed up the Washington 70.3 has now been moved to the Tri-Cities, and it looks like the course is really near where my houses my dad grew up in, so I thought it'd be kind of fun to, you know, again, if maybe we can entice the kids to go because it's a Texas Roadhouse, but going to Columbia, so that's next September. So I want to try to again sign up for these waypoints.
Yeah,
we've got this race on this date, this race on that date.
Do it properly is what you're saying.
Yeah. Totes.
Anything else, Herman?
No, I think that sums it up for me. How about yourself?
No, I just need to get some miles under my own legs. So, you and me, kid.
We're in it.
I'm in it to win it.
Well, hey, if anybody wanted to email us, they can write us at Clinton@mymidnightclub or notKelly@mymidnightclub, or even if you're looking for a dentist now, bluedentalwellness.com. Come by, we'll make an athletic guard for whatever you might need an athletic guard for. So... Or clean your teeth, whatever you need for your teeth, or Botox. We do it all.
IV
or
bags.
IV infusion therapy.
Which, I like your idea. Iron Man has never had IV bags at the end unless you're passing out and you're in the medical tent.
So we thought, what if we had?
Just offer them.
Got a tent, like, hey, stop by, cook yourself up, get you feeling better, get you going on your way.
Yeah.
Totes. All right. Well, hey, thanks for listening. Until next time, I am Clinton Scott Timmerman with...
Not Kelly and Mr. Badger Blue.
Mr. Badger Blue. Until next time, rock on, y'all.
If I could put my arms around you, would you remember how it feels to bask in the glow of my protection and stumble and fall? The power, but mine is raging. A dream.